I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I'm beginning a new series today, and I'm excited about that. Just going to spend a few weeks talking to you, teaching and sharing from the Word of the Lord, and I believe it can be a blessing to all of us. I know there is a lot weighing on your mind, on my mind as well, and not all of that is bad. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just the cares of life and managing families and households and business and all of the things that we have to do. I know that includes a lot of stressors and you know, we've got Mother's Day coming up, and that's a challenge for many people whose mother is no longer here. And then some of you are graduating kids. We're graduating a student. I am so excited to have all kids out of school system, at least public school system, here in just, if he can hold on for just another couple weeks. That's exciting. We have more graduates that we're honoring this year than ever, and I'm so proud of all of our graduates. And then, you know, you're planning vacations, and teachers are about to give your kids back to you for the summer, and I know you're scared about that because you're scared of your kids and, you know, just all the chaos it's going to be happening in your house. I mean, we have these things weighing on our minds. And so my hope is that for the next few Sundays, I can just kind of sneak into your spirit, sneak into your heart, and help you pray. In fact, I want to challenge you to pray. You say, challenge? What do you mean challenge? I mean, I know I need to pray. I don't really need to be challenged. We all need to pray, but I want to talk to you about the kinds of prayers that you are praying. And you may be thinking, wait, are there more than one kinds of prayer? Is there more than one type of prayer to pray? I mean, I only know the help, Lord, or the I'm desperate, please fix this in my life. And I know a bunch of those prayers, and I've prayed many of those prayers, and I will again. I suspect before this day is over, I'll pray some of those prayers. But the truth is, much of what we pray are safe prayers. They're easy prayers. They are what I call predictable prayers, and they absolutely have their place. But they are the static prayers, the generic prayers, the safe prayers. It's prayers like "Be with me, Lord," or "Protect us, Lord." I would imagine many of you prayed that last night as tornado sirens were going off and phones were alerting to, you know, the weather. It's "Protect us, Lord." Here's another one. I pray this prayer a lot. Bless me, Lord. But there are some other prayers that I feel like the Lord is inviting us to pray. And let me just say here at the outset, all prayer is good prayer. If you're saying, wait a minute, I pray all those prayers you just exampled, and I never realized they were safe. I just thought that was pray those prayers. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're willing to bring your need to the Lord, that is celebrated here. And I want you to keep doing it because prayer works. We know that prayer works. But I want to challenge each of us today to pray a different prayer. These are what I'm calling today in the next few Sundays, dangerous prayers. They're dangerous in a good way, but they are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. What is it that makes these kinds or types of prayers dangerous? The reason that they're dangerous is that these kinds of prayers will take you out of your comfort zone. These are prayers that will mess with your plans. Prayers that will cause you to switch some things up in your life. These are prayers that will get in your business. But on the other side of praying these prayers is a life that is changed forever. On the other side of praying a prayer, a dangerous prayer, it's an altered family. It's a changed marriage. It's a turn in your circumstance. Anybody interested in praying a dangerous prayer? Amen. And that's all right. Some of you aren't quite sure because it's like, I don't know exactly. I don't sign blank checks, and I don't know what it is the Lord is going to ask me to do. And I'm going to begin today. We're going to walk through a few of these over the next few Sundays. But to begin, I feel like the Lord directed me to a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139, and we'll get to that in just a moment. We'll pray that prayer together in just a moment. But let me give you a little context as to why David is praying this prayer. David is praying this after surviving another skirmish, after getting through another challenging situation where David's enemies and God's enemies were on the attack in his life. They were accusing David of wrong motives. They were saying that David was not faithful. They were saying that David was not loyal. And instead of defending himself, instead of David climbing up onto a rock and saying, no, wait just a minute. Let me tell you who I really am. David didn't do that at all. David prayed a dangerous prayer. He asked God to search his heart. Just in case what they're saying about me could be true. Just in case what they're accusing me of is even a possibility in my life. David said, Lord, I want you to search my heart. Check me over, Lord, and make sure that what they're saying about me is not in me. And this was David's prayer in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want us to read that together. Put verses 23 and 4 back on the screen. We'll read it from this same version so that we're one voice. Would you join me? Let's read it. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You say, what's happening right now? Well, I believe God is doing just what he said. He's doing just what you asked him to do. He is searching your heart. And I don't want to just leave you with that to figure out or to try to live out on your own. I want to break that down today in the time I have remaining and break it into four parts. And I believe that this prayer will arm you and it will equip you. It will build and bless your life, and you can make this dangerous prayer a routine prayer. A prayer that I pray on the regular because I want to keep my life on an altar. I want God to work in my life. And so the first part of that prayer is search my heart. He said, search me, God, and know my heart. And I hear you. I hear you already saying, why ask God to search? He already knows my heart. I'm not keeping any secret from him. I'm not hiding anything. He already knows. I mean, I may be hiding it from someone else, but I know I'm not hiding it from the Lord. And besides that, why do I need the Lord to search my heart? Because I already have a good heart. I already know I am a good person. Well, good-ish. I mean, you know, I know I've got a little bit here and there, but I've got a good heart. I rounded up at McDonald's the other day. Smiled at my neighbor about a month ago. I mean, I got a good heart. This may be hard for you today, but without Jesus, we do not have a good heart. It's common for us to, you know, we'll be describing someone, we'll be talking about someone, and usually it's right after they've messed up or they've made a mistake, and we say, they have a good heart. I know they didn't get this right. I know they fumbled here. I know they slipped over, but they have a good heart. But if I want to be biblically accurate, they don't have a good heart. They have a wicked heart. And that's not this southern slam, you know, of bless your heart. It's not that Jeremiah 17 and 9. I mean, this is the Bible. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You say, Pastor Darrell, what hope do we have then? Well, that's why we're praying this dangerous prayer. Because we know that's what the heart wants to do. It wants to be wicked. It wants to be deceitful. It wants to lead me astray. And so I'm laying my life on an altar. I'm committing myself wholly and completely to the Lord. And I'm not allowing these other things to come in and to dilute or to distract my heart. I don't know. I just know that without Jesus, our heart is not a good heart. We deceive others, and even worse, we deceive ourselves. You want to know the truth today? We're all really good liars. How many are liars today? Any hands? Whew. All right, everybody's got your hand up. Look at somebody that does not have their hand up and just stare at them, real judgmental like. Because they're lying. We all lie. We lie to ourselves. That's who we lie to the most. We look in the mirror and we lie to ourselves. You know how you lie to yourself? We do it all the time. I don't have an anger problem. I'm just passionate. I'm not materialistic. I just like nice things. I don't gossip. That was a prayer request. I don't consider it lust. I'm just admiring God's creation. Let me know when I find you. And so David said, search me, God. Know my heart. I dress up my heart and I live out this heart thing and people just, I've got so many people fooled, but Lord, I'm not about that life. I don't want to fool anyone. I want you to know me, because if you know me and you deal with me and you help me resolve this issue in my life, everyone is going to tell and see the difference in my life, because I'm living above reproach and I'm living honest and I'm living pure and I'm living right in your presence. Search my heart. Know my heart. Tell me what you see in there that I no longer can see in myself. Maybe you're seeing this as a dangerous prayer today, because when you pray it, God will show you what is not pure in your heart. And it's not to be mean, it's certainly not to be cruel, but it's so that we can get closer to Him. Because closeness follows honesty. When I'm honest before God, I draw closer to Him. Now, number two, the second part of this text is asking God to reveal my fears. To reveal my fears. He said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What are your anxious thoughts? What are those things that stress you and worry you? And I know there's a good many of them that we tend to dismiss because it's our conditioned normal. Life is supposed to carry a certain amount of stress, and so we're carrying that stress, and life is supposed to come with a certain amount of hard and difficulty, and so I'm just living that hard and difficult a season of life. It doesn't matter that the season never changes. I just live in the same season year after year after year. Folks, we woke up this morning and it was 58 degrees outside, and if you haven't checked your weather app, it's supposed to be 48 on May the 5th tomorrow morning. I am old enough to talk about the weather finally. Finally, I'm there. 48 degrees, May the 5th. I love it. But what are my fears? I'm not alone. I mean, all of my friends have fears. And I'm not talking about the snakes and spider kind of fear. That's universally accepted and forgiven. It's just been in the last couple of weeks. We let our dogs out. All of us were home. Was that Easter weekend? Elle was here. So we let the dogs out in the back, and they've got a little fenced dog run area that they do their business in. And so it was, late in the evening, 10 or 10:30 at night, and we let the dogs out, and the next thing you hear are these blood-curdling screams. And that was from Kristen and Jude. Because there was a possum inside the dog run. And I do believe the possum was more scared than anybody. But Kristen was convinced that possum had rabies and, was going to kill our dogs. And the possum was literally just trying to get away from everybody. He's just trying to find somewhere he can run and hide. And so Jude is trying to get the dog's attention. And of course, with this new creature they've never met before, they were very intensely focused on that, smelling it. One of them was trying to bite at it. I mean, it was an ordeal, and Jude was trying to get their attention, and so he was getting louder and louder and louder, and for whatever reason, I was just as calm as I could be, standing up on the deck, and, oh, true story. I'm the hero of this story. I'm telling it. Search me, God. Know my heart. I'm talking about their anxious thoughts. But the next thing I hear is my neighbor, I think he was standing there in his underwear, literally. He came outside in a complete panic and came and he said, "Is everything all right?" And it was like all of a sudden, whoa, it's late at night and we are just hollering out here, you know, everybody just, our anxious thoughts, Lord, we need you to know what our anxious thoughts are. What is it that is freaking us out? What is it that is stressing us to the max? It may not be a possum. It may not be that kind of thing. Maybe your anxious thought is a fear of failure. Maybe your anxious thought is a fear of succeeding. Some people are afraid of failure. Some are afraid of succeeding. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown, or you're afraid of losing someone you love, or maybe you're scared you're not going to be married by a certain age, or maybe you're married and you're afraid that your marriage is never going to change for the better. What are your anxious thoughts? You say, Pastor Darrell, why does this matter? Why does God want to know better? Why does God want me to admit to my anxious thoughts? I'll tell you why. Because what we fear most reveals where we trust God the least. Just let that hang for just a second. What we fear most reveals where we trust God the least. We can't just hope that some things will go away. It's been a couple of weeks since that happened, but just last night, arriving home, Kristen was letting the dogs out, and Jude, don't you want to go check just to make sure there's not a, it's become an anxious thought. Are you sure you don't want to go look and just see and just check and just confirm and just make sure that the worst is not down there waiting? It's an area where I don't quite trust. I've got fear and it's being revealed. It's being revealed in this circumstance. It's being revealed in this challenge. I can't just hope that it's going to go away. We have to put the work in. If I'm scared that my marriage won't work, or I'm scared that I will not have enough money, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I live in that tension of anxious thoughts and worries and fears, and then I'm looking every day for the next crisis and the next problem and the next issue, and I'm waiting for the next shoe to fall. And we resign to the fears and we stop doing the work to turn the marriage or the money around. And so today I'm praying this, Lord, go easy on me. Some of these anxious thoughts, some of these fears have become a way of life. It's become what I expect every day. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you're in this room. Because you wake up wondering, not if something is going to go wrong. You wake up waiting for it, expecting it to go wrong. And life becomes a bit paralyzed because of your anxious thoughts. And I need to move because there's two more of these, but here's the third that David is praying in this prayer. He said, uncover my sins. He said, see if there is any offensive way in me. Lord, I'm asking you to show me if there's anything that is displeasing to you. Reveal and show if there is anything in my life that is inconsistent with truth. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's really hard to see ourselves in the mirror. We see everyone else real good, but us, we're blurry to ourselves. It's easy to accuse others and to excuse ourselves. So we have to pray, Lord, help me. Help me see, search my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And I'm preaching to two different people in the room today, because there are people in the room that absolutely know you know what I'm saying. You know right from wrong. You know the choice that you're making. You know the decision that you are making. You may know that you're not living your best life, or you've got an area that you've allowed sin to take control, and you're here, and I'm glad you're here, and I want you to be here, and I believe God is talking to you today. And yet there's another person in this room that you don't even realize that the way you're living is not God's plan. And I'm not asking anybody to raise hands today or admit to anything, but you have no idea. There's theological terms for that: sins of omission, sins of commission. The commission sins are the ones that it's the premeditated stuff. I know it's wrong, but I'm doing it anyway. I know this is not what God wants, but I'm falling into it anyway. I'm stumbling, I'm walking, I'm running toward it. Sins of omission, what? That's wrong. I remember I was just a student, just CY age, and came into church. We had Sunday school hour in the church I was raised in, and came into Sunday school, and I think I was literally only a minute or two late that day. It wasn't a habit for us. We were normally there on time, but came in just a couple minutes late, and coming in kind of in a hurry, and came around the corner and literally ran right into our pastor. And he was this, you know, very astute and very classy man, just always dressed to the nines, always just completely suited up and just wavy, you know, gray hair, everything about him. But he was a wonderful, beautiful man, and I honor his memory. But I never will forget coming around the corner and running into him, and he said, "Honey, why are you late?" He was looking at his watch. "Why are you late?" Always teaching, always coaching. And I said, Oh, Pastor Dees, we went roller skating last night. We were out late." And I never will forget, because I was raised in a holiness church, I never will forget the look on his face. "Roller skating?" He said, "We do not roller skate." I said, "We don't? Why not?" What? I mean, we didn't do anything. What is wrong with roller skating? Well, I didn't. They believed it was dancing on skates. I had never heard that in my life, and we didn't believe in dancing. I'm glad we've kind of evolved a little bit, because I didn't realize I was gonna have the kind of moves in me that I have. So they needed an outlet, but I didn't even know. I didn't know it was a sin. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Let me find an altar somewhere and get this right. But let me give you some practical help with that. Because these may be some helpful self-awareness indicators. Here's the first one. What are others trying to tell me? When it comes to sin, when it comes to issues in my life, when it comes to struggles in my life, what are others trying? I'm not talking about the person that you're passing on I-20 and they're mad because you wouldn't get out of their way and they're trying to communicate with you. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that you know, people that you love, people that you trust. What have they been trying to tell you? Hey. Do you think this is a good plan? Are you not seeing the red flag? Are you sure you should be dating this person? Are you not? I mean, how are we all seeing this and you're not seeing this? I'm not saying those are comfortable conversations. They're challenging conversations, but they are helpful indicators. Here's another one. What have I rationalized for some time? What's happening in my life that I keep saying, it's good, I can handle it. I'm all right, I can handle this, I'm good here. What am I trying to rationalize? And the first two really inform the third question. What am I most defensive about? What is it that my friends try to bring it up to me and I keep getting mad at them and start pushing them away? And it leads to the fourth and final part of this text today. David was praying, lead me. I need you to lead me. He said, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that I see it, lead me out of it. Now that I've become aware of it, now that I understand what's happening in my life, Lord, how are we going to fix this? I need you to lead me. I need you to lead me out of this. And here's the thing, God has not come to condemn us. You may feel conviction right now. That's God. Condemnation, that's the devil. Conviction is good. Don't sear that. Don't run from that. I don't like to go to church because every time I go to church, I feel bad about something I'm doing. Then stop doing that. And let God do the work in your life. Let God heal that area of your life. Let Him fix that broken place in your life. Lead me, Lord. Because He's not come to condemn us, He's come to deliver us. So the goal is not to show us our sin and then leave us in it. No, He wants to lead us out of our sin. He's asking you to admit to your fears so that He can lead you out of those things. It's not saying, oh, you're stuck with that. You're too bad. That's just what you were born with. No, He came to make us free. Because praying the dangerous part leads to the delivering part. Search me, God. Search me. Search me. Search my life. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want somebody to pray that today. I want somebody to pray a dangerous prayer today. God, here's my life. Maybe you want to bow your head where you are. This yes moment is really twofold today. There's people who need to say yes to Jesus. And there's people who need to say yes to praying this prayer. Every day this week, search me, God. If you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you gave your heart to the Lord years ago or months ago, or maybe as a child you committed your life to Jesus, but life taken you in a lot of different directions, and today you're in the presence of the Lord and He's calling you, He's drawing you, He's tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, I got you here today because I wanted you to hear this word. I wanted to establish this truth in your life. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to search my heart. There's some stuff, Lord, I know. I could name it. I could list it. I know it's not your plan for me. But there's other stuff that has crept in that I don't even realize. Search me. Search me. Know my heart. Forgive me. Go easy on me, Lord. Give me some time. Let me work this out with your leading, with your guiding, with your direction, Lord. With the help of strong brothers, with the help of great sisters. I see light at the end of the tunnel, Lord. Lead me. Save me. Change my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.